2 Kings chapter 4. I want to complete my thought today by preaching the beginning of last week's message, if I may. Last week we determined that we should have a goal in mind, and that our goal should be to change the environment that we live in by invading some mountains in our life that we need to take back because the enemy has stolen them from us. Scratch that. The enemy can't steal jack squat. We give it away. I don't know if the preacher's allowed to say jack squat. I don't know if that's acceptable or not. So if it's not, if that went against your theology, I'm really sorry. Yes, you have. So we determined that in no particular order, this was just the order that God gave it to me, that we need to take back the mountains, if you will, and invade them through serving, not invade them through kicking doors down, but through laying our life down. And our examples that we used last week, of course, were Jesus and Daniel and Joseph in the Old Testament. I would even say Joseph in the New Testament. We need to invade the mountain of our home, learn to serve in our home. We need to invade through serving sacrificially the mountain of the church. I believe we need to invade the mountain of the arts, and we need to invade it because not because I'm an artist, and not because there are artists in the room, and not because many artists come to Living Water, but because it became apparent a long, long time ago, long before I ever got a burden for it, before I got smart enough to get a burden for it, it was apparent that the church was always at least a decade behind everyone else in everything. And it should not be so. We were made new again and given new life by a creator. We should be creating. So I believe we need to once again take back the reins in that area. And let the world mimic us for a while. And then I believe that we need to invade the marketplace, our businesses, through serving, through doing your job 110%, through and by not stepping on someone to get to the next rung. Because what I believe we fail to realize, I want to, first of all, speak this to the generation behind me that's in the room. The same distance up is the same distance down. Going up is fun. Going down, not so much. Going up, you get rung by rung. Going down, you don't get to step down. It's a tumble. So you've got to learn to serve. And all those people that you step upon to get to where you want to be, they get to watch you as you fly by them. And that does not bring glory or honor to the kingdom of God. That being said, let me address my generation, and I'm allowed because it's my generation. They learned that somewhere. And they learned that when economic hardships hit us, we go into self-preservation mode so many times, and so we do what we got to do. I say that the Christ follower is never out of options. Because you're in Christ, who is in God. That's a, that's a, you, penetrate that. You're a bad dude. Circumstances can't penetrate that. So our faith lies in Christ, and we are enveloped in the glory and goodness of our Creator God. So we must invade these mountains. But to do that, we need authority, and authority has been given to us by Jesus Christ. And when He left us being Christ followers in charge of His work, while He went to heaven, by His own words, to prepare a place for us, and I know we all are excited about that. You should be. I'm excited about that. No more tears. No more fears. No more pain. Hallelujah. Amen. Mr. Great Place to say amen right there. Maybe you're good down here. That's awesome. But a couple of things. A, if it was time for us to be there, we'd be there. Tells me we got work to do. Heaven can wait. I said heaven can wait because Jesus has a plan for our lives. And what we discovered through Scripture was that the way this authority is lived out, and how we gain access to the darkness of this world, thus being able to make a change in this world, the way that it is executed is through the avenue of serving. And Not the fake kind of serving and not the obligatory serving. I'm talking about laying our life down for the sake of another. Again, Jesus being our example and model. Amen. And last week I tried to get down inside of you this key thought, and it's still resonating in my heart. I pray it is yours. Pull out your worship guide. Let's take some notes. I'm going to just jump right into this message. Last week we tried to wrap our mind around this simple but so complex truth that royalty is my identity, serving others is my assignment, and being a friend of God is my life source. And it must be in place for us to walk in the authority that Jesus has given us. And that was the how part of this revelation. And this morning, I want to get to the nuts and bolts of it all and unpack the why. Why should you and I care what others think of us? See, the church did this weird 180. I'm not saying that you should care about legalism and its ugly trap that it can get you in and people that judge you for how you look or whatever. But why should we care about what others think? How others perceive us. Why should that matter to us? For so long, the emphasis was placed all on that. What does this person think? What does that person think? And then we did this whole 180, and now we've literally put so little thought into our reputation that we just don't care what anybody thinks. That's too bad, because we need to care what other people think. If we believe that perception determines reception, we need to care what people think. Now, I don't believe we need to care what people think about what you look like. I always say smell like, whatever. We need to care what people think about our character. And the only way that we demonstrate proven godly character, although we've tried for decades, I would say centuries, to prove that externally, that's going to all burn. None of that matters. The only way that's going to be proven to the world and to those we do life with is through proven godly character, by the decisions that we make. Everybody in this room has been at the crossroads where we've had to make a decision, and sometimes it's a right and wrong decision. Sometimes it's a good and better decision. Regardless, there are people that watch your life that you may not know. Regardless of who you are in this room or under the sound of my voice, you are either influencing your children, your family, those who live under your roof, or you are an influence on people that come to your church. You are influencers of your neighbors, your coworkers. As much as I don't like it and you don't like it either, people watch you. People watch me. And some are watching to catch you. But others are watching to find Jesus. So don't worry about those who are watching to catch you. Happen to Jesus all the time. And if you read those stories, he never really addressed it. I mean, he just didn't. It did not ruin his day, and he didn't change a thing about his decision-making or behavior because he was already walking with proven godly character. So he didn't change anything that he did because he cared about somebody trying to catch him. However, he was very concerned. He would tell the disciples again and again, man, you've got to do, I only do what my daddy tells me to do, Jesus said. And you've got to do as I instruct you to do. And they got it right some of the time. Jeff gets it right some of the time. You get it right some of the time. Why should we care about what other people think? I want to deal with that today. I want to deal with the question, why does the perception of us by the church and unchurched even matter? And finally, how and why is this important to God? I want to answer these questions in our remaining time together, but let me start with some vision casting, if I may. I've got an tremendous, almost indescribable burden for Living Water Dayton. I'm going to be a little somber and a little straight to the point this morning, and I hope that's okay. Because if I don't share this, then God will whoop me, and he ain't going to whoop me just because I'm afraid that you're going to get upset. Amen. My burden for Living Water is not because she's broken. She's not. We're strong. We're healthy. All glory to the Lord. It's not because of my leadership. It's God is good. And God has blessed us. That's why we need to bless him. Hallelujah. I'm not burdened because Living Water is broken. I'm burdened indescribably because she's pregnant with breakthrough and blessing. She's pregnant with breakthrough and blessing. And in 17 years, many times when that pregnancy begins to go full term and people are about to see breakthrough happen in their life, they end up doing just the absolute dumbest things in their life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about yet? Am I in the right place? Okay, so... And so what happens is that which they're impregnated with and that which the baby that they have been impregnated with and which affects, as Chancey clearly described so beautifully, they abort that, unfortunately, and it affects the whole body. So my burden for Living Water is not because she's broken. My burden is because she's pregnant and close to giving birth to breakthrough and blessing, and it is vital that we protect the baby. It's vital that we protect that which God is getting ready to do. And we can't do that if we're not on the same page. And I have felt this way for years. But the last 3 years specifically, I've carried this burden. And it's overwhelming to me, and I've wanted to share this word and this message for so long, and God's like, no, it's not time, it's not time, and I'm like, God, I think you're missing it, God, and I'm asking you to forgive me for saying that to God, and I've already asked God to forgive me, he's already forgiven me. I'm like, God, no, now's the time, and I would always think now's the time because there may be an individual that I know needs to hear it that would be in the service. See, I'm just honest about it. And then, so God released me. So I just got to assume that this is for you. And if it's not for you, pray for me, because I know it's for me. And so for such a time as this, we're going to talk about this subject. And if I had to prioritize this burden, I've told you what the burden is, but I think there's a couple of layers to it. And by way of introduction, we're going to dive into this. But if I had to prioritize it, I'd say the heaviest part of this burden for me is for you men, the men of Living Water. Whether you're a fringe member, I use the word member loosely. I prefer the word owner. Members show up when they feel like, I'm a member of a gym. I come and go when I feel like it. I own my home. I take care of my home. I go home to my home every day. When I'm at the gym and something breaks, because I'm a member, I go to the desk and I tell somebody, hey, that thing's broke. Can I get fixed? Put a sign on it, will you? Thanks. If I own the gym, I fix it. And my burden is for the men. My heaviest part of the burden is for the men of Living Water. Like any father, air quotes for those listening by way of podcast, in this case, a spiritual father, I want to have sons. I want to have sons in the faith. I want to have faithful sons. Why, Jeff? Because a son is supposed to carry on the name, work, and vision of his daddy. Doesn't always happen like that in the natural. Doesn't always happen like that in the spiritual. And it's okay if God changes your vision and whatever as you continue on down your journey with the Lord. Isn't that my point? My point is, the burden is that I believe there's a clarion call for the Church of Jesus Christ. I just happen to be the shepherd of Living Water, so the burden for Living Water is heavier for me than the church down the street. I believe it's time that for God's sake, men grew up and matured in their walk with Jesus Christ. If that doesn't apply to you, I'm not indicting you. I'm not wagging my finger. I'm looking in a mirror. Trust me. I have spent more than enough time on my face making sure I am allowed and have earned the right to share this word with you. So I'm not being condescending in the least. If you hear it like that, then I'll give you a minute while you repent, because that's not my heart. You say, yeah, but you sound angry. You have no idea how angry I am, but not at you. Because I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I hate the devil. I hate that he puts apathy in the hearts of men. I hate that he puts upside down priorities in the lives of men. I hate it. So they put all of their focus in places it shouldn't be. I want spiritual sons. It's what Jesus did. He gathered him 12 guys and made them spiritual sons. And if you read the book of Acts, you know they turned the world upside down. But everybody didn't make it. But everybody had the chance. Jesus did it. It's what a good, mature son in the scripture did. And I believe that God has supplied Living Water Dayton with amazing, great men of God that are making a difference in their world, certainly in this church. And I honor you today. And I publicly thank you for the service and for the sacrifice that you make for this body and for me and my family. Thank you. But the rest of y'all ain't off the hook. We got some men that really aren't even sure why they're here. They don't know why they're at this place. They don't know why they're here at this place, at this time, on this Sunday, at this hour, much less why they're on this planet. You've wandered around in circles for so long. And I know I'm going to sound insensitive, and man, I'm trying to be sensitive to the time too. So I'm just going to share my heart. You've been walking around in circles for so long, whining about your false reality, and I know it's a big deal to you, but you have forgotten that you serve a king that is above all kings, and he is able and there to fix whatever it is that's broken in your life. And instead of maturing, all you do is cry yourself to sleep every night. But it's not over the lost neighbor that you don't even know the name of. It's because God still hasn't fixed your problem. And I'm not downplaying your problem. I'm just saying this isn't about you and it's not about me. It is about a world that is going to go to hell if the gospel of Jesus Christ does not permeate the darkness. So praise God for the men who have risen up and had to do the work of five. But I'm challenging the rest of the men who have not. Why are you here? No, I know why you're here. You're here because God's going to change your heart. Why are you on this planet? What is your mission statement in your life? Why do you exist? How is tomorrow going to be different than today? What changes will be made? Secondly, my burden is for the women of Living Water, and I thank God every single day for the women of Living Water that have rose up and spiritually led many aspects of this movement while some men are still sleeping. Come on now. Men, we need to honor the women that are leading when we should have been. I'm burdened with the excuses that we try to play off as reasons. Ladies, thank you who have risen and have led. Thank you, ladies, that have had to step into roles in your home. Hey, every single mom that's in this room, I honor you. And I lift you up more than you will ever imagine. You have my respect and honor like you have no idea. Every single dad in this room, I honor you and I respect you. We could talk all day about why you're in the situation. That was yesterday. We're not promised tomorrow. Let's talk about now. Ladies, you're tired. I see it in you. I see it spiritually in you. You're exhausted. You're exhausted because you've had to take a role that you should never had to take. You've stepped so far out of your role and assignment that now many of you are out from the covering of the Word of God because of necessity, you thought. Hear me clearly, church. When a woman feels like she's got to lead because a man won't, it creates a storm of epic proportions in her life. So I lament over the sons and daughters of God that are here today that call Living Water their home. Again, if you're here and you're a guest, welcome. You're part of the family. This is for you too. At the risk of it sounding like I'm going for the laugh, because I'm not. Sons and daughters aren't born through babysitting and babbling. Sons and daughters are not born through debating and discussions. My God, we don't need another meeting to talk about the same daggone thing. We need to do what the Bible says to do in our own lives. Make the changes that God has told us to make in our lives and live according to His Word. Because sons and daughters aren't born through rehashing the same thing and us not making any changes. Bless God. Sons and daughters aren't born through strategizing. Sons and daughters aren't even born through sympathizing. Sons and daughters are born when a seed is planted and it penetrates that which is already inside of the bride. Oh my God! When the seed is planted into that which is already inside of the bride, and that seed is the Word of God. And when sons and daughters are born and begin to walk in everything they've been designed to walk in, when that seed, which is the Word of God, begins now to impregnate you with a vision and a passion and a dream and a destiny. There's that union that takes place that cannot be described as anything less than a miracle, both in the natural and the spiritual. If you're still with me, say amen. I'm trying to plant in the hearts of men and women the seed of the Word of God. I've been assigned to tell the rest of the story. I've been assigned to preach the Word as it's written for men and women as we are. We're losers, saved by the glorious grace of God. And I got to preach the whole Word. Like Chancey said, man, living water don't shy away from hard subjects. We just don't. We can't. I'm not built that way. I just can't do it. I don't like controversy. I don't like getting anonymous emails. I don't like the feedback I get because you think I don't get you. I'm not trying to get you. I'm trying to get Jesus inside of you. I'm not trying to get you. You don't get me. Amen. My God, I mean, I'm an enigma. You're an enigma. That's the beauty of this church. It's the beauty of what God is doing here. Do you see it? Do you see it? Look around this room. No one's alike. That's a beautiful thing. Give him praise. Come on. I'll get you out of that golf clap syndrome one of these days. You don't have a seed enter you and produce the product of the seed in a little bitty short period of time. For many, that's what we expect, man, as we give what we have left over each week to His Word and His worship and His house and through prayer. You get it. So the next few minutes that we have together, I want to stress to you the importance of how you are perceived. You're like, Jeff, I don't understand how this has anything to do with the title of your message. Because I believe... Here's where the dots connect, because I believe perception determines reception, and no one's been honest with you enough to tell you the truth about perception and how important it is, and so you perceived yourself incorrectly. Because you've perceived yourself incorrectly, you can't receive the seed. Therefore, many haven't even given thought to the perception that others may have of you and how you will be received either inside or outside the walls of the church. You just try harder. And you just hope that tomorrow's different than today. and you'll keep telling the same victory story that you had four churches ago, and you'll keep telling me what you did in insert church name or state here, and you'll keep telling me that over and over again, and for some reason, you expect I'm supposed to get stoked about that. Quit living on yesterday's revelation. Pray that God would set a fire inside of you because living water is pregnant. And I refuse to let the enemy kill this baby again. So I am going to fight hell, and I, in the spirit of love, I will even fight you over it. Clearly not physical. If that's what you heard, and if you're just tuning into the podcast, I'm 5'6", and I weigh 140. So, yeah. I ain't fighting anybody. Yeah, I did that. Oh. I got the strongest guy in the room, got my back now. Okay. Now, okay. Okay, I take that last line back then. Justin? Nah, you know I'm messing. Listen, my purpose in this is I want you to walk away from here understanding the answer to those questions. Why does God even care? Why is it important how we are perceived? In order to be received, so that we can invade the darkness, not so that we can impress other people, or not so that any other churches think we're awesome, so that we can invade the darkness for the glory of God and for His kingdom. We got to establish an image of what godly and holy men and women in our homes, community, and church are like. God, I bless the reading of Your word, and I would ask, Lord, that You would prepare our hearts. Lord, that You would position us in a place to receive for Your glory and for Your honor. I ask You, Lord Jesus, that nothing would come out of my mouth that has not came from Your heart. For Your honor and glory and all power that's due Your name. In the name of Your majestic Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whom we bow before. It's in His name we pray these things. Amen. And amen. Click your pen. Let's take some notes. What determines our effectiveness? What demonstrates whether or not we have proven godly character is our reputation. There's a word you don't hear much about. I want to talk about reputation. I want to talk about reputation because it's in your Bible. It's got a couple of different names. It's got a couple of different phrases. It's called a good name. Reputation is, and a good name is they're the same thing. They're swerves. People should be able to rely on your name. People should be able to rely on your word. People should be able to look at our lives and know that we have proven godly character based on the decisions that we make. Again, not by the way we're dressed, not by the, you get the idea. But it is reputation that puts forth the perception. And the perception is what determines the reception whenever it's time and God opens a door for us to share our story. I was in the bank the other day, and one of the gentlemen that worked there used to work with Miss Kim. And he said, "Hey, how is Kim doing?" And I said, "Man, she's doing great." And I said, "You know, she left the bank where you guys work together," and he's like, "Good for her." And I'm like, "Okay, easy for you to say." I said, just kidding. I said, "Yeah, man, good for her. She needed to go." He said, "Man," he said, I'm telling you, that's a good woman." I said, "You ain't telling me nothing, buddy." And he goes, No. He goes, "I'll tell you this." He said, That bank will be closed. That bank will be closed because she left. I'm not saying that because my wife is in the room. I'm saying that because you and I need to understand what reputation and a good name is. He said, I've seen her get so mad and be smart enough to walk away. She has great patience. A to the men. And he started using all these adjectives. And so he's all the way down the other end working the little drive-through tube thing. I'm all the way on the other end. And the lady who was taking care of me said, he's talking all the way across. My people in line. And I'm like, can we just get this transaction over? I got to be at church.